It's time for parades and fireworks and beer and barbecue and humidity and hot dogs and noise and swimming pools and more beer. After all, isn't that what July 4 is all about? Well, I want to suggest that we make it something else. Something very different. A day of prayer. In fact, doing that would return us to our roots. Because all evidence supports the fact that God's hand was deeply involved in establishing the United States of America. Just as he did in biblical days, God used sinful men and sinful women to work his divine purposes, and we now enjoy citizenship in the greatest country on earth. I did some research, and I want to share some of it with you. 530 years ago, Christopher Columbus said this, quote, "It was the Lord who put it in my mind to sail from Spain. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question that my inspiration to sail came from the Holy Spirit of God." End quote. 115 years later, the first English settlers arrived in Jamestown, Virginia. Why? Because they were escaping religious persecution. And one of the first things they did was to build a church. And that church is the only building left standing there in Jamestown today. A few years later, the Pilgrims arrived at Plymouth Rock, and the first thing they did was to kneel and to pray and to dedicate this new colony to him. Around that same time, Lord Baltimore founded Maryland, and he did it through a church service. Also, William Penn wrote the governing policies of Pennsylvania, and in them, he made sure that one essential thing was included. Quote, "All treasurers, all judges, and all elected officials must profess faith in Jesus Christ," end quote. Say it, sister. I love it. President George Washington said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." 12 of the original colonies, the 13 original colonies, included the entire list of 10 commandments in their civil and criminal codes. President John Adams said, "The law given from Mount Sinai was a civil and municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. Vain indeed would be the search among the writings of secular history to find so broad, so complete, so solid a basis for morality as the Ten Commandments lay down," end quote. When the Supreme Court was built in 1935, they placed on the front of that building Moses holding the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Patrick Henry, the first governor of Virginia, said, quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ," end quote. Woo! Did you know that the first three American universities, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, were established in order to train pastors for ministry? In 1782, the United States Congress voted in favor of a proposition approving the Bible for teaching and use in all public schools. In 1864, on a 2-cent coin, they stamped for the first time, "In God we trust." In 1956, that phrase was voted as the official motto of our nation. One of the presidents of South America said this, quote, "South America was founded by men seeking gold. North America was founded by men seeking God," end quote. It was Independence Day, July 4, 1831, when a new song was written. It was prepared for a children's choir to sing at the Park Street Church in Boston, Massachusetts. The melody of the song was an import from England. The words, however, were new words that were penned by Samuel Francis Smith. He was a student in a theological seminary, and eventually he became a Baptist minister. And his song began like this: "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring." And it went on from there to celebrate the beauty of our country and the blessed freedoms that we enjoy. But it ended with a prayer. A prayer to God. And it says, "Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King, great God, our King." That prayer was written and that song was first performed 191 years ago tomorrow. It's a great prayer, and I would encourage us to pray it today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And just before you go to sleep tonight, just before you sing, "Hear Our Prayer, O Lord." But I don't believe that prayer is adequate anymore. We need far more than the blessings of God on our freedoms and his hand of protection for our country, even though we need those things. Why would I say that? Well, I think you know. I think you know exactly why I said that. Here is more from my research. Not far from here, in Baltimore, Madeline Murray O'Hare started her atheistic campaign to ban the Bible and prayers from our public schools, and it eventually reached the Supreme Court, and they ruled on June 25, 1962, 60 years ago this year, that school-sponsored prayer was unconstitutional. By the way, aren't we pleased with what happened just recently on that subject with the Supreme Court? I vividly remember in my high school in the late 1950s in Rockingham, North Carolina, we began every morning of the school mornings with a devotional and a prayer that were broadcast from the principal's office over the intercom system in every room of the school. Did you have that in your schools? Do you remember that? I actually did some of those. We also opened all of our assemblies with a devotional and a prayer. God was welcomed in our schools. Prayer to God in our schools was normal at that time. I graduated from high school in 1961, 1 year before the Supreme Court made that historic decision. And about the same time, there was a presidential commission report stating the following, quote, "The concern and the distress of the American people over the national problem of drug abuse is expressed every day in the newspapers, magazines, scientific journals, public forums, and in the home. It is a serious and many-faceted problem," end quote. In 1971, President Richard Nixon called drugs, and especially heroin, America's public enemy number one. That was just 10 years after prayer was taken out of our schools. That became a national topic of concern. And I doubt that anyone at that time could even imagine how much worse that situation was going to become in our country. About that same time, pornography, which of course had been around for centuries, became far more public, far more accessible. Adult theaters began to crop up in almost all the major cities. Videotape stores were popping up everywhere, and many of them had a little room at the back behind a black curtain where one could go and they could rent videotapes of pornography in order to view them in their home. And of course, eventually that went to DVDs, and eventually it went to computer screens, and it went to TV screens through the internet. The growth of that industry exploded after they took prayer out of our public schools. Homosexual behavior, which God condemns, and which also has been around for centuries, also became more public, leading to the AIDS epidemic, which started in 1981, just 20 years after they took prayer and the Bible out of our public schools. In 2004, same-sex marriage was legal in only one state, Massachusetts. But within only 11 years, in 2015, it became legal in every state in our country. Gay pride has become the new anthem of praise in the streets of America. In 1988, a new label became a standard, LGBT. It was not long before that was expanded to LGBTQ. Now I understand that there is LGBTQIA+, and I confess I have no idea what that means, but it won't be long before the entire alphabet is used. All of that nonsense is an outgrowth of our taking God and prayer and His Word out of our public schools. 5 years ago, in 2017, the FBI posted on the internet what they called a crime time clock in America. It reported that in the year 2017, there was a murder every 27 minutes, a forcible rape every 7 minutes, a robbery every 68 seconds, an aggravated assault every 51 seconds, and a violent crime every 27 seconds. Now, just 5 years later, we are told that violent crime in America has increased by 12%, but even worse, homicides have increased 89%. America, America, you have kicked God out of our schools and out of our society. You have banned His word wherever you can. You have torn apart the traditional family values on which this nation was established. America, you have become a country without a moral compass. What could go wrong? Psalm 9, 17, the wicked return to the grave, all the nations who forget God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Thankfully, God promised that He would never again bring a great flood. But God did not promise that He would never again bring a Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a big lie today that says it doesn't matter what you believe about God as long as it helps you. No. The fallacy there is that what one believes to be true does not create truth. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. Truth is truth. When it comes to Jesus Christ, He is alive. He is alive. That is the truth. Confucius is dead. Muhammad is dead. Madeline Murray O'Hare is dead. They were all liars. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And here we live in a free society where anyone has the opportunity to hear the truth of God whenever they wish, at any time, but people don't even read His word. Do you? People don't even open their Bibles. Do you? Some people don't even attend church. They avoid churches. Did you know that there are 380,000 church buildings in America today, with many more congregations like ours renting space that's not churches in order to have their gatherings? And that there is an estimated 330 million souls living in America today. You know what that means? I used my little calculator. That means that there are more than enough church buildings for each and every citizen in America to come together to worship God. But most of the churches in our country are struggling just to keep their doors open. In spite of all that, we live in a great country. We love our country. We love the greatness of our country. We love the generosity of our country to us and to the whole world. We love the gifts that have been afforded to us, every one of us. And we especially love our freedoms, which we will again celebrate tomorrow. I read that one man asked another man, he said, is it true that both the Soviet and the American constitutions guarantee freedom of speech? The answer was yes. But the American Constitution also guarantees freedom after speech. America is a great country. But our great country is sick. And I would even go so far as to say it appears it's dying. So what do we do? Do we weep? Yes. Do we give up? No. Do we just pour another beer and salute the red, white, and blue? Or do we fall on our knees and pray? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's Psalm 33. We talk about separation of church and state, and that concept has been used against Christianity like a hammer and a hatchet. Did you know that that concept came from Thomas Jefferson? And here is exactly what he said. Quote, "The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles always stay in the government." End quote. That's not what's happening. And if that is going to happen, we need fewer fireworks tomorrow and we need more prayer. General Douglas MacArthur said, quote, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline." He goes on, "There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the normal lapse, or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster." End quote. Oh God, please send us a spiritual awakening. Please send us a spiritual awakening. In 1904, a great and historical spiritual awakening took place in Wales. And the impact on the moral condition of that country was absolutely overwhelming. History recorded that the courtrooms were empty because judges had almost no cases to try. History recorded that there were virtually no robberies during that time. And many of the bars had to close because there was no business. And within 1 year of that spiritual awakening, the illegitimate birth rate declined by 44%. And all of that happened because one man, whose name was Evan Roberts, began to pray for revival. And God said, yes. This is Deuteronomy 8. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees. If you ever forget the Lord your God, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed." Obviously, that was not written about America, but God's word is eternal. And I believe it applies. Brothers and sisters, you may not have political power. You may not be famous. You may not be a genius. You may not have $1 million or $1 billion in the bank, but you do have tremendous influence, just like Abraham. Abraham prayed to God and he pled with him for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, "Oh Lord, if you can just find 10, would you spare the city?" And God said, "Yes, if I can just find 10 righteous people, we are more than 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We are more than 10. It only takes one person to pray for spiritual revival for God to say yes. We have probably memorized 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And you know the rest of that, don't you? So I close with this, Psalm 33 once again. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen. Let's pray. O God, please bless America. The land that we love. In Jesus' name, amen.